Welcome to the Success Circle Q&A call today. Just going to get started here, and I believe we have someone calling in a few minutes to ask their question. So when that person gets on the line, we'll take their call if they can make today's call. But let's get started. First, I want to thank all of the brand new Success Circle members. If you've joined us and you're brand new, I want to thank you so much for being here on the Q&A call. The Q&A call is scheduled every fourth Tuesday of every month at 4:30 p.m. And then the high content call is scheduled every second Tuesday of the month, also at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So thank you so much for being here. Now, the purpose of the Q&A call is to answer any questions that you have, and preferred if you can come on the call live so that I can coach you through the call and or your question. But these are for you. So you can ask any question that you have, whether you're working through the Entrepreneurial Edge system, you have some question about growing your business. You know, there's no point in trying to reinvent the wheel. If we already have the question answered for you, why not take the shortcut, right? That's the way I always look at things. So seek out your resources and utilize the Q&A calls for the reason of, you know, being able to get your questions answered and move on, right? Because that's the easiest way to grow your business. So thank you so much for being here. Just to recall, if you do have a question, simply email info at accelerateassociates.com. That's E-X-C-E-L-L-E-R-A-T-E, associates.com. And let's see, we have some upcoming events that I also want to share with you. September 13th, we have the high content call called The Mysteries of Mindset Systems Revealed. The Mysteries of Mindset Systems Revealed. Now, when you're trying to make some changes in your business or in your life, you know, sometimes you have all of these mindsets that are going on. And if you've gone to the 3-day intensive, or even if you've gone through the self-study program, then, you know, we spend a good deal of time on different types of belief systems and mindsets, because your mindset is going to, even your belief systems are going to affect your actions every time. And so there are specific tools that you can use to really put that mindset on the right track, to align it with the kind of life you're trying to create for yourself. So on September 13th is our next high content call, where I will be providing some really great mindset system techniques and tips that you can use. And so remember to mark your calendar for that. Okay. Special announcements. We've got a really special one that I want to mention to everyone. Changes to the Success Circle membership site. I am thrilled about this. Why? Because it's for me, it's more integration into the website. You'll be able to see the membership site, portions of it at least, and the look, the aesthetics, the being able to enter it, it's going to be so much easier for you. The way you tap in, I know sometimes we had some Mac users were having problems with our old system. So in the course of the next few weeks, we're actually redoing our entire website, inclusive of the membership site, the Success Circle membership site, so you'll be able to get it, and I would love, 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 love your feedback on it. Let me know what you think of it. We're redesigning it. A lot of it, too, is being redesigned because of the feedback that you've given us, so I appreciate the feedback and much more functionality, easier access, nicer aesthetics, easier to navigate. So my hope is that you will enjoy this new benefit. So it's really, really cool. So I'm looking forward to it. Well, let's get down to some of the questions. I just want to see if we have our caller on. Do we have a caller on the phone yet? No, not yet? Okay. We're still waiting for somebody to call in because they wanted to be coached live. So I'm going to take some of the other questions that have come in and answer those questions first and see if our caller is just maybe running late, and we'll just take some of the other calls, right? Some of the other questions before, and just wait for our caller to come on. All right. If not, I have the questions they're going to ask, so I'll cover them in this call as well. All right. Let me just take a quick sip. I had a lot of meetings today, so meeting back to back to back, so I apologize for that. Okay. Let's see what we got here. A couple questions that came in about narrowing down a niche or niche, and how do I narrow down a niche? I've actually covered this question in a high content call as well. But when you're getting started in business, oftentimes, you know, it's difficult for people to select a niche or even get really exacting on their ideal client. And I'm sure the people that have heard me before know what I'm going to say, but if you try to cast a wide net and try to be everything to everybody, you'll be nothing to no one. I know there's some people out there probably saying that verbatim and knew I was going to say it, but it's true. If you do try to cast a wide net and try to be everything to everyone, it's very difficult to start creating your marketing messages that help align with that market. So even more importantly, and even knowing where they hang out in large numbers so you can get your message and so you can get in front of those, that target market. But how do you narrow down a niche when you're even first getting started? Or maybe you've been in business and you've discovered that your particular market either has been saturated or you find it necessary to change your market. Well, there's a couple things that you can do. First of all, if you've been in business a while, pay attention to who are the clients that you're working with now and who are the ones that you really, really enjoy working with. And see what the attributes of those individuals are. And also take a look at some of the things that are happening in the marketplace. What is really happening in a marketplace? What are some of the trends? You know, what are some of the best practices? And when you identify some of that, it will give you an indication of, you know, maybe that's a niche that I need to really focus in on. Also, you know, a lot of people try to go externally and identify their niche. And when they look inside, is when they really find their niche. And what I mean by that is sometimes you, the best way to identify your niche is to say, wait a minute, am I further ahead? Say, have I already found a solution to a problem and now I can work with people who are, you know, 5 years, 3 years behind me in doing the same thing? And so what you might find is that you start working with a niche that you've already developed a solution for, you've been doing it, and suddenly they're looking for the solution that you've already provided, that you've already discovered. Okay? So those are, that is looking internally and saying, you know, I've already had this experience, I've already done this, you know, maybe I need to focus on that specific niche. So look inside, look at the marketplace. What are some of the trends? Look at the demands that are happening in the marketplace or any gaps that are also occurring in the marketplace. So you may find just by doing some research and looking at some of the trends, for example, the baby boomers, one of the largest populations. Well, what's happening? Well, they're all aging. Right? And so they all are going to need special needs, special services, perhaps. So take a look at, okay, what's happening with that population? Or maybe that's not your population or your service that you provide, and you can look at, you know, the following population trends. You know, are people, where are they moving to? So just by identifying what some of the trends are in the marketplace, you can narrow down a specific niche or narrow down a specific market. You know, a lot of consultants had changed their market, especially when they were niched into the automotive industry and found that the automotive industry wasn't doing well, and they were slashing the consulting fees, really affecting a lot of consultants out there. Now, again, that's changing. They're bringing the consultants back because they don't want to necessarily hire employees, so they're bringing independent contractors in many cases or consultants in to help solve the business-related problems. So you really have got to keep your pulse on the marketplace. And you might find a different kind of a niche. And again, have you already developed a solution to that problem? So are you, you know, further ahead, and you can offer solutions to somebody who may be behind you, like 3, 5, 10 years, and you've already developed that solution. So those are some ways to also narrow down a niche. You know, it could be market. You know, are you in the, if you're B2B, you know, are you servicing the small market, medium-sized market, number of employees? Again, being exact to attract and really narrowing down what that niche should be for you. So I hope that was helpful. Let's go on to our second one. Do we have our caller? Did any of our callers call in yet? Are you on the line? If not, we'll go on with the next question before I address the next question, because we have some questions about hiring and hiring the right people. So I'll just go on to the next question. The next question came in. My membership in an organization is up, and I don't know if I should renew it. Do you have any decision-making tips? You know, this is a great question, because as you do your marketing mix, as you are out there defining what your marketing mix is, where you're spending your time, you obviously want to get in front of the people that who are your clients, or at least your referral partners who can make introductions into those different marketplaces or different customers or clients for you. And I, you know, I've also throughout just my career and where I've been taking my own business have found that there are some memberships that, you know, I tried different depending on where my business was and where I wanted to take it, called for me letting go some memberships. Some groups that I had been part of for a very, very long time. And I think what happens is we tend to get attached to some of these affiliations that we have without examining whether or not these are the best groups based on where we're taking our business. And when you go through the business blueprint process, it becomes even more clear where you're spending your time. Okay, so first and foremost, I recommend that if you don't have a blueprint, definitely get that. Join us on September 30th if you're not yet registered, because this is going to be part of the decision-making process of whether or not you renew memberships and which organizations you should target based on your blueprint and your marketing mix. Now, to your question about decision-making tips, there are about 6 questions that I will routinely ask myself every time a membership comes up and based on where I'm taking my business. And I think these are going to help you. They've helped me make that decision and made it very crystal clear. The first one is, and I'll go slow for those of you taking notes. The first one is, are you getting in front of decision-makers and your preferred client? Are you getting in front of, by being part of this membership, are you getting in front of decision makers and or your preferred client? Now, some people are are a step away from the actual decision maker, people that are going to help grow their business. And it might have seemed like a good idea at the time to join the membership, but then you realize you're once removed from the actual person who's going to make the decision to get the contract, if you have that kind of a business, or you're just not getting in front of your preferred client, or you're not getting in front of your referral partner that can actually get you in front of your client. And so the membership is no longer valuable or valid for you to be part of and invest your time in that particular organization. So the first question is, are you getting in front of the decision makers and or your preferred client? The second question is, do you actively engage in the meetings? And I say this because remember the PAR approach, P-A-A-R, Power, Accountability, Authority, and Responsibility over the results that you want to achieve and the life you want to lead. And a lot of people get into organizations and they're not engaged. They don't go to meetings. You know, they don't go to the networking. They don't participate actively so people get to know you and what you do. They're not explaining well or educating people well on what it is they do so that in making it easy for people to refer others to you. Also, and it's not what you can get, but what you give. And by actively participating or engaging, what I mean is, are you giving? Are you really giving? So are you part of this membership that can reciprocate in some way or giving either your time, talent, treasure, whatever that is, into the organization, making it a better organization and the people around you? So do you actively engage in the meetings, in the networking? And on a regular basis, remember, consistency creates trust over time. So are you consistent? Number three, what kind of results have you gotten? Now, it's real easy to say, oh, if I don't pay this membership, I'll be saving X amount, whatever that X amount is. But what, remember, the mind starts to give up stuff rather than saying, as I'm investing in this, what is this investment? What is the results that this investment has gotten? So how many referrals have you gotten from that group? Is this a group of people that you want to belong to, that are giving people, that are, and are you actively giving too? So there's got to be, there's got to be a give and take in here, in terms of, what are you giving? What kind of results also have you gotten? So, has it resulted? After you've been engaged, after you've educated people on what you do, what kind of results does that look like? Number four, will the people you're networking with get you to the next level? And sometimes you stay with an organization way too long. And so it's problematic because those individuals, you've gotten to know them, you might like them, but are they going to be the same people that get you to that next level? Or are they the same level as you are? Maybe they're maintaining their business or their mindset is, not where you need to be to make it, to grow your business. So, that's a good question to ask yourself, kind of a self-assessment. Are they people that you're going to network with that are going to get you to that next level? Whether it's because they have contacts, because they have the knowledge, because that they've been there, done that, are they going to stretch you? Number five, is there a cycle of reciprocity, that energy? What's the energy like in the organization that you're belonging to? Number six, is the organization's purpose, mission, and alignment with yours and your goals? If you're taking your business nationally, for example, or internationally, is this a local organization? Do they only have contacts locally? Because sometimes the nature of people's businesses are just local. Right? And so, is the organization's purpose, mission in alignment with yours and your goals and the scope of that organization? So again, if you're taking it nationally or internationally, but they're only a local organization, it may not be the right organization anytime. And, you know, this goes to pre-qualify organizations or memberships that you become members of, too. All right, so number one, are you getting in front of decision makers and your preferred client? Number two, do you actively engage in the meetings? Number three, what kind of results have you gotten? Number four, will the people you're networking with get you to the next level? Number five, is there a cycle of reciprocity? What's the energy like in the organization? And number six, is the organization purpose and mission in alignment with yours and your goals based on where you're taking your business? And so those are the six questions that I think will help you. So do we have Jean on the line at all? Yet? No? Okay. Well, we're going to ask. Jean had some questions that I want to make sure that we cover. Let's see here. Okay, the questions are, there's several questions that I want to cover. As you grow your business, there's going to be points that you're going to have to bring on staff. And so the questions are, what are the right questions to put in an ad when you're looking to hire a customer service person for the office? There's a couple parts to this question. When you get to the interview stage, how do you weed out who's better during the interview? And should we put them through a test of some sort to test how they handle certain situations? These are really great questions. No matter if you're hiring somebody to be on your staff or an independent contractor, and really, you can use this same process that I'm going to outline for you in for either ways. The first question, though, I want to address, and I would ask that if we get the caller on live, I'm going to ask Jean some additional questions, but I don't think she's on the phone. So. She wants to hire a customer service person for the office to answer phones, do routine sort of paperwork, take customer orders. They're going to be somewhat have to be proactive. So what the first step you want to do before you even hire is to decide what the person is going to be doing. Now, one of the first things that we do in mastering your inner entrepreneur is we go through all the things you should not be doing as the owner of your business. And we as many of you have gone through that whole process of deciding on, you know, where you're spending your time. Now, when you decide to hire somebody, it's important to understand now, how are they contributing? So, yeah, you're going to offload some things to them, but how are they contributing? In what ways? And so if you have them doing certain things, it needs to be important to outline what those things are. So if they're going to handle customer service, well, what about customer service? What is the expectation? You know, when people call in, yes. So are they going to be proactive? Are they going to have to upsell? Because even though you may say, well, this is kind of a receptionist type thing, customer service, they're going to take orders, that's great. But what is the expectation? What's the outcome that you want for this position? So not only tasks, not only looking at the position and the tasks that are entailed, but what are the outcomes? What are the goals of this position? It's obviously to grow your business, but in what ways? What are they taking care of? So that's first and foremost what you absolutely have to be clear on, because when you interview them, it's going to need to be clear. If you've ever gone, you know, if you've ever worked for somebody else and they were like, well, you're going to be doing this and you should be doing that, and, you know, they weren't quite sure what the job entailed, well, it just doesn't do well for training. And when you're bringing somebody in, yeah, sometimes there needs to be flexibility. And if you get the right person in, the job can grow. That's true. But you've really got to understand the fundamentals of what that position entails and what are the outcomes. Numero uno. Really important to do that. Now, the other important thing is to understand the fundamentals of the position, because, you know, what kind of work is it? You know, are they going to be doing customer service? What does it mean? Are they going to be talking to the customer? What's the frequency of talking to the customer? Are there many interruptions in the job? Does it require a high attention to detail? Or does it require some sales skills? Or both? Now, here's why that matters. When you identify what the ideal is for that job, that you want to look at the nature of the job. So, for example, if you're hiring someone you want for customer service, chances are you need them to be warm, you need to be friendly. But what's the nature of the job? Is it face-to-face interaction? Or is it telephone? This is really key. Because, and here's why, a lot of people thrive, salespeople, thrive on face-to-face communication. But people who are more methodical thrive more on the phone. Now, there's pros and cons to having both, but you got to understand the nature of the job. So is it going to be routine, repetitive stuff? Is it going to be a lot of phone answering? Now, here's why this is important. When one hotel had about a 99% turnover in the reservations department. Now, reservations department is, you know, taking reservations, you're answering the phone, you're typing on the computer at the same time, you're sort of taking orders, right? Well, they wanted to hire people that were outgoing and engaging and extroverted. Why? Because they wanted the warm and fuzziness. And when people call, we want them to feel that way. Great. Well, they discovered that after a while, they had 99% turnover and couldn't understand why there was all this turnover in the reservations department. They thought they were hiring the right people. But when they looked at the nature of the job was telephone work. It was answering phones all day, typing on the computer. Yeah, there was some variation in that, but that's what they were doing primarily the whole day. When you look at that and you look at somebody's natural hardwiring, the people that want face-to-face communication, those extroverts, are going to seek out that face-to-face communication. So they were actually hiring the wrong people, and once they identified the longest person who was in that department, they realized, oh my gosh, she's not, you know, a person who's naturally wired to be quick, and she was more methodical, but she refined the process over time. She also liked long-term affiliations. Now, long-term affiliations, people who like that tend to be a little bit more chatty, and you do have the warmth over the phone. Except they're completely opposite from the people that are extroverts who want the face-to-face communication. So So what they discovered is they did want somebody who was more of an examiner, but somebody who was more of a people-centered, who was more methodical. They tend to be a little bit more relationship-oriented and a little bit chatty. Now, once they learned the process, what to say to a customer, the training has to be different for them, but the nature of the job was routine, repetitive. It was answering the phone all day. So it takes a very specific hardwiring for that kind of a position. The people that were hardwired to be more extroverted and wanted face-to-face communication were actually going to places like the front desk and sales, where they're going to seek out that face-to-face communication. Once they realize this and they start putting an ad in the newspaper for more methodical people and, you know, warm and pleasant and using buzzwords that I'll tell you about in just a minute, they started to attract the right people for the job, and they went from 99% turnover to zero in about 6 months. Now, this happened, you know, many, 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 many times I've lost track of how important this is. So that's why your first step is to really assess what is the real nature of the job, what are the outcomes you're looking for the job, and when you really boil it down, what are they going to actually be doing from day in to day out? Is it routine repetitive? Does it require independent thought? Or is it going to be more directive? Is it going to be more internal thinkers who think internally? Or is it going to be more external thinkers who want face-to-face communication? So is it phone or is it face-to-face? And if it is a combination, to what degree is it a combination? So what are they going to do more of, face-to-face or phone? Third, is it more routine, repetitive, and that they're going to refine processes over time? Or is it something that they're going to juggle many, many things and have to respond to urgent time pressures? Now, I want you to be careful there, too, because some people say, well, we got a lot of phone calls coming. Yeah, but a methodical person will take them as they come in. Okay, so methodical person can do that. And if they're going to be doing that all day, you're going to want somebody with some sitability factors, meaning they're going to be sitting all day taking, you know, they may be up and down, but they're going to be taking phone calls. And the work itself is pretty routine. And the fourth thing is it going to be a lot of structure? Is there going to be more structure? Is it going to be, you know, you want somebody who's more out-of-the-box thinking? Now, I want you to be careful on that, too, because most of the time, customer service, you got to really watch your, cross your T's and dot your I's, because it involves invoicing and, you know, those kinds of things. So you want to be careful on what's the paper trail look like. Typically, people that don't like a lot of structure are going to be in your sales. They're not going to be in customer service, because customer service requires a lot of follow-up and follow-through, and they're going to, you know, typically people that are lower on that scale are in jobs that require a lot of independence and, you know, rules are just guidelines. So they're going to be more cowboys. So you're probably going to tend to want somebody in customer service who's a little bit higher on the scale for follow-up and follow-through. So once you define that ideal person, then you want to describe your advertisement. And you want to pull in and help people pre-qualify themselves by that advertisement. So let's use the situation where the reservation is. So instead of what they were saying is, hey, are you a proactive, when they were hiring the wrong people, are you a proactive individual who, you know, it's people-oriented and, you know, you love face-to-face communication and, with a high sense of urgency, with good follow-up and follow-through. Okay, well, people that are proactive, that are, like, you know, have a high sense of urgency, are going to be attracted to those words, because you're going to ask right out, are you this person? So you got to make sure that you got your description about the person that you want really solid. Now, the advertisement that you would put in for the buzzwords for somebody who is more methodical, but that you still want people-oriented, might sound something like this. Are you a pleasant individual who gets along well with customers and enjoys, improving systems, existing systems maybe, who is conscientious, thorough, and has excellent follow-up and follow-through skills? Do you also possess these qualifications? And then you put the qualifications for the position on there as well. Now, when you do this, the person that aligns with that, okay, is going to respond to that, and the person who doesn't won't. All right? Now, you're using a couple of buzzwords that will attract a more methodical individual. And there's certain words that will attract a more methodical individual. Pleasant. Nice. Those are going to attract somebody who is, you know, more of a methodical decision maker. All right? But if you're trying to hire somebody who is, extrovert, you know, you might even want to say, are you an extrovert who loves and enjoys people? is naturally empathetic. Those are the words. Is persuasive, is good-humored, is appealing. Those are all extrovert words. Somebody who's more process-oriented but still people-centered, okay, still people-centered, are going to like words like, are you a calm and relaxed individual who is steady and patient with customer service? Are you nice, agreeable, easygoing? Okay, those are still people-oriented, but they're going to be more patient with the customer, okay? They're going to be more methodical. All right, so they're going to respond to that type, those types of words, in an advertisement. If you want somebody who, for example, is high on the scale of an examiner who crosses their T's and dots their I's, then you're going to want to use words like, are you consistent and conscientious and careful and neat and thoughtful? Those are all very words that would attract somebody who is more, you know, cross their T's and dot their I type of person. You know, conversely, if you want somebody like, for example, who has a high sense of urgency, who, you know, responds to their environment, then you're going to want to use words like, you know, do you have a high sense of urgency? Do you respond to urgent time pressures? So they're going to say, oh, yeah, that's me. You know, are you impatient in some cases? If you need somebody to trail or set new trails and it's a brand new division that you're working in, you want to do words like, are you assertive? Are you competitive? Are you adventurous? Are you demanding? Now, those people you would attract are people that like to work independently, who like to blaze new trails, who like to work independently. So if you are tapping into a brand new market, and you want to attract that kind of an individual for a specific position, again, those are some good words to use. Okay, so first and foremost, find out what the job entails. Really identify what the outcomes you want for that position. How are they going to contribute? Assess the kinds of the types of tasks that they're going to be doing. Is it people-oriented or task-oriented or combination? And if so, if it's a combination, what percentage? Place key buzzwords depending on who you want to attract into your advertisement, or even word of mouth or social media, but you want to use those buzzwords. So are you a, you know, nice and pleasant individual who is, you know, generous and nice and agreeable and great with customer service, who is attentive to details and diplomatic and thoughtful and conscientious. Those are buzzwords that are going to attract, you know, somebody who would be better in a customer service type of role over the phone. Okay, over the phone. Let's see. And then the other piece is, once you know that, and of course remember to put the requirements of the job in there. And then how do you weed out people in an interview? First of all, you've already pre-qualified by your advertisement. Okay? So step one is your advertisement, or however you're advertising, or the description that you're sending out to your network. That's your first pre-qualification. The other is, how do you weed them out during an interview? Well, that's about behavior-based interviewing. And the key is, what are the key competencies that you are measuring? So if it's listening skills, for example, well, it's great. If it's communication skills, well, what kind of communication skills? Is it listening? Is it verbal communication skills? What are you trying to assess? What type of competency are you trying to assess? Now, let's say, for example, you're saying, well, I want them to have really great communication skills. Okay, verbal communication skills. All right, so a question you might ask behaviorally to assess whether or not they have this competency is, give me an example of a time where you had to communicate your ideas. Tell me to your boss or to a customer. Tell me what happened, what did you do, and what was the outcome? And that format is, what did you do, how did you do it, and what was the outcome? It's kind of like, give me the situation or task, give me the action you took, and the results. And it's a branded version is called the STAR format, but what was the situation or the task? You know, what did you do? How did you do it? What was the action you took? And what was the result? What was the outcome? Now, during the interview process, people will often say, well, what I generally do is da-da-da-da-da. Okay, that's a great general example that you gave, and this is what you say. That was a great general example what you gave. However, I'm looking for a specific example of a time where you had to communicate thoughts or ideas to a customer and share with me what happened, what did you do, and what was the outcome. Now, let's say one of the other competencies is handling different difficult situations. So in those, you know, under pressure, yeah, how do they handle pressure or sensitive time pressures? You can ask, give me an example of a time where you had to deal with multiple projects and they all had similar time frames. What did you do? You know, what happened, what did you do, and what was the outcome? Now, make sure, again, you're getting the situation or the task, what happened, the action they took, and the result. What was the ultimate outcome of that? Now, based on that, you can determine a scoring, 1 to 3. 1, it's not present. 2, they kind of gave you an example. And 3, definitely the competency is present. They gave you an example, they identified what action they took, and by that example, it was spot on and it answered the question and maybe even exceeded the expectation or the competency. Now, why that's important is most of the time you'll have 2s. Yes, they met it, they gave you the answer. Too many threes could also indicate somebody is overqualified for the position, that they're going to tap out very quickly, there's not going to be a big learning curve, and they're not going to stay with you long because they're not challenged. So when you're scoring this, take into consideration, first of all, what are the competencies? What do you want to measure in that behavior-based interview? Is it customer service skills? Is it listening? You know, if it's listening, give me an example of a time where you really had to listen to a customer. You weren't, you know, they weren't making themselves clear. What did you do? How did you do it? What was the outcome? All right. Now, if you're naturally wired to have a high sense of urgency and you're in this interviewing situation and you're interviewing somebody who's more methodical, pay attention to giving people enough silence and space to think about your question and come up with an answer. A lot of times, people with a high sense of urgency who are interviewing people that are more methodical, they need to think about it. They need silence. You might even give them you might seem like a lot, but people are in their heads and they're trying to give you a really great example. And it takes time sometimes for them to think about it. So it might seem like an eternity to you. Remember, you know, give them a chance to answer the question. Now, if there is a chance or a time where they cannot come up with an answer, that could be an indicator of that competency is not present, so they would not be a good person. Or sometimes they have to come back to that. You know, and you can after a while say, would you like to come back to that? Yeah, I need to think about that. Okay, well, and then make sure you go back to it. But again, try to avoid those generalizations that people will make. Well, what I usually do, well, it's great. You know, thanks for that. It's just general. I want you to, you know, think back. Did you ever have a time where you had to deal with a customer and they were particularly difficult? What did you, you know, can you think of that time? Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, yeah, there was this time where blah, 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 and then they'll go on. Now, again, make sure you get the situation or the task, the action they took, and the result, and that you also score it. Now, let's talk a little bit about waiting, weighting, waiting, a question. There might be some questions that are, like, weighted more than others. Like, they absolutely not only have to answer this question and have to come up with a great answer, in a solid situation where that happened and how they resolved it, but if they don't, then, you know, it's just going to weed them out altogether. So you could weight the questions, and some may weigh more heavily than others. The other piece that a lot of people fail to do is to really probe the person's resume. And so what I would suggest is your interview go something like this, and I'll show you the process, or I'll list out the process. Hi, Jane, welcome today. And it might be a phone interview, by the way. You can do a phone interview first and sort of weed people out that way, especially if you're going to have a lot of phone work. And say, hey, you know, thank you so much and for coming, or thank you so much for your interest in this. You know, what I'd like to do today is I'd like to ask you some questions about your background, go through your resume, and then what I'd like to do is transition to some questions about specific experience that you might have, tell you more about the position, and answer any questions that you have. How does that sound? Great. That's what they'll usually say. Okay, so now you've prepped them. Now you've said, okay, here's what's going to happen. So you're already bringing them through the process. And again, that takes about as long as I just did it. The first question is, so let's go through your resume. Go through the resume, identify, do you have your degree, don't you? What you're doing is you're looking for any gaps or things that don't make sense. So then you went here, you know, start from the very, the oldest and all the way up. It doesn't have to be long. You can just say, oh, so I see you were a receptionist here from this date to this date. Is that right? Yeah. And why did you leave to go to thus and so? Well, that was a promotion. Or, you know, well, that didn't turn out right. Well, what happened? You know, so again, there might be some extenuating circumstances, you know, but you want to find out, did they get fired? Is there a reason for them leaving all these jobs? Do you see some consistency that they never got along with their bosses? Again, these might be red flags for you, to consider the whole picture. Now, one firing 20 years ago or 15 years ago, you know, does not make a whole employment record. So if somebody, you know, I've heard all kinds of stories throughout my career about people, you know, getting into bad situations and having terrible bosses and it not working out. So don't necessarily hold that back, but you do want to look into that. Now, after you, you know, you might want to ask, after you go through that resume, you're going to ask some simple questions. What did you like best about your last job? Okay, simple question, gets them used to you asking questions. So now, what would you change about your last job? Pay real big attention to this question. What would you change? Not what didn't you like, what would you change? Because they may tell you the things that they want changed are the very things they're going to be doing in this job. You know, so that'll be a red flag. That'll indicate fit or not. And you'd be surprised at the things people tell you on that question. Just because you asked not what they didn't like, what would you have changed? Okay? Again, let them think about it. Now you're transitioning into those behavior-based questions that I told you about earlier. So give me a specific example of thus and so. Give me a specific example of a time where you really had to listen to a customer in a certain, you know, and determine what they really, really wanted. And then at the very end of your last behavior-based question, after you go through all those competencies, and you typically, you know, there's about 5 to maybe 8 questions. You know, don't riddle them with, you know, your idea is within about an hour you should be able to assess whether or not there's going to be a good fit here. And then at the very end, say, you know, great, thank you very much. Let me tell you a little bit more about this position. Now you're going to tell them, these are the outcomes I'm going to look for. These are the type of person I'm looking for. This is what I want them to handle. You know, if you have any benefits or anything to your position, if you're hiring a full-time employee, great. Now is the time to tell them, kind of give an indication of what, you know, you want for that position in terms of pay. If you want to reveal that at that point, whether it's a phone interview or an in-person interview, you determine when that is, that you discuss the salary for the position. And then say, you know, do you have any questions? And I've asked you a lot of questions. Do you have any questions for me? And this gives them an opportunity to ask any questions that they might have or clarify any questions. And then depending on that and that whole thing, say, well, the next steps are, let them know, what is your approximate time frame? You know, and really stick to that time frame. There's nothing worse than people just sort of hanging out there waiting to hear from you. You want to make sure that you get back to them. It's not a requirement, but it's nice to follow through and let people know if you have or when you have selected another individual. Now, you also want to check on their references, preferably the last 2 supervisors that they can talk to. If they give you a written letter of recommendation, you'll want to call the phone number and verify it and verify the information. Again, especially if these are employees, if this is an independent contractor, you're going to want to talk to their other clients. At a minimum 2, I always recommend at least 3 past supervisors or 3 clients that you can talk to. And so, you know, those are, you know, how do you So really identifying the position, the essential functions of that position, laying what that is out, what are the outcomes you expect for the position, qualify them through the advertisement, making sure to use buzzwords that attract the kind of person, the hardwiring that you want for that job, and put them through a behavior-based interview, assess the questions that you've asked them, and how they handled certain situations. Make sure you go through their resume step by step, identify any gaps, which is actually more common now than it used to be, to have gaps and have extended unemployment. So it don't necessarily mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're a bad employee if they couldn't find employment. Remember that. It's just the nature of the marketplace now, so it doesn't mean they're not a good employee. I've known many sharp individuals who have had extended employment. It's not because that they're bad employees. In fact, they were stellar employees, but it's just the nature of the marketplace in a lot of cases. So, and in some cases, people are being really selective about what they're going after too, which makes sense from their perspective. Make sure you evaluate. You use the same evaluation from person to person. Meaning how you score. So don't change your scoring for one person. Use the same, evaluation scoring, from person to person. If you're hiring somebody as an employee, those job interview notes do not go into the personnel file. They go into a separate hiring file. Their resume and their application, if you have an application process, does go in their personnel file if you're hiring somebody full-time. And make sure that, you know, based on the evaluation, you document, you know, kind of who got the job and why, and indicate, and then follow through on the people that didn't, either with a phone call or a letter thanking them and closing that out. Because again, you know, even though you can go through this, this whole process, if for whatever reason that person may not work out in 90 days, you want to, at least if there was a number two that you were really having a hard decision on, or even number three, and if that person doesn't work out, you want to make sure that you keep in contact with the other ones, or at least close the loop with them, so that, you know, if it doesn't work out, you can always give them a call and you're on good standing with them, because people appreciate that. So, let's see, Gene, I hope I answered your question, let's see, and we've had some other questions about membership, so we've gone through all of those and how to determine whether or not you should, some qualifications of how just to assess whether or not you should continue with certain memberships, or when is it time to let it go and get involved in other organizations to help grow your business. And we also talked about narrowing down your niche. So, covered a lot in today's Q&A. Again, I want to invite everybody to submit their Q&A questions to info@accelerateassociates.com, and also to mark your calendar for our next high content call, which is scheduled for Tuesday, September 13th, also at 4:30 p.m., and it's uncovering the mysteries of mindset systems revealed. So we're going to reveal some mindset systems and how to really stay on track there for our high content call. So again, thank you so much for coming on today's Q&A call. Until next time, create a great life. Bye, everyone.